And I think our procedure is a good one of beginning by doing introductions so people know who's here. And if I think if you don't mind, Assistant Chief Dickinson, maybe we'll start at your end and people, you can just say who you are and your role here. So, yeah.
Paul Dickinson, Columbia Police Department.
Clint Sinclair, Columbia Police Department.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Harry Castillo, board member.
Denise Blazek, board member.
Stephanie Yoakum, Human Rights Commission.
Reese Ellis, board member.
Doug Hunt, board chair.
Jamie Thornsberry, board member.
Nancy Thompson, city councilor, standing in for Rose Wibbenmeyer tonight.
Stacy Weideman, city manager's office, in for Matt Unrein tonight.
We have a couple of excused absences, but we're certainly at quorum, and so we're going to feel comfortable going ahead and doing our business. So we'll just move on, because I know at least one of these items is going to take some time. And let's go, first of all, to the approval of the agenda. People have had a chance to look. Does anybody have anything they feel we need to add or change on the agenda, or shall we approve it as is? And I'll welcome a motion.
I'd move to approve the agenda.
Okay, so moved by Reese.
Second.
So we've got a motion and a second to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of minutes, and again, I think people have had a chance to look at the draft minutes. We'll begin with the last open meeting, which again was posted, among other things, online with the agenda. So do I have a motion to accept the draft minutes as written?
So moved.
Seconded.
So we've got a motion and a second to approve the open minute meetings. And all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? And the closed meeting minutes, we can't actually, you know, people can't actually look at closed meeting minutes unless they're, but the members of the board who were in the closed meeting were there and had a chance to look these over. If there are changes that people feel like need to be made, they probably need to be discussed in the closed section, since that's, sort of protected information. But if there are no changes that people, I would certainly welcome a motion to accept the minutes of the closed meeting from June 12th.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the draft closed meeting minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. All right. That brings us to old business, and we'll start with Assistant Chief Dickinson. We wanted to get an update on, I know you've been exploring the technology changes that might be afoot, and I think you were going to just give us an update or sort of report on where things stand on that.
But we're still in discussions with Command Staff and with City Manager about the purchase of the new body cameras and the new in-car camera systems. Chief is going to send a report to the city manager about the cost, because there is a significant financial impact on that. It's a huge impact financially for us. At the moment, we're spending around just over $40,000 a year for the body cameras. It is a significant increase to switch the car systems to Axon. And I know you asked about unlimited storage. So she is in the process of sending that over to the city manager and to council to look at. That's where we are at the moment. And obviously we're in the budget process at the moment, so that's long and tedious, but it'll go into that.
Any a straightforward question that occurred to me, when you citing that cost of $40,000, that was in effect, the equipment side of it, not including the storage side of it?
The majority of that is storage.
Majority of that is storage. Okay, that's what I was thinking, majority of storage. And we'd also been talking about lengthening the period of time that things are stored, so that will be part of the cost estimate that comes in. Is that right? For members of the public who don't know what that discussion was about in general, but the question of, largely think of it as a question of when body cams are turned on and turned off. So, you know, the question of whether they record incidents fairly completely or not is affected by the technology. And one of the things that Assistant Chief Dickinson was talking about is upgrading to a technology that as soon as an officer opens the door on the scene, the body camera is activated, so there's not a question of did the officer get around to doing that. And I believe the idea is that it would then be running through the incident, right?
Correct, yes. And we implemented the testing of the holster. So when officers were drawing the firearm, they automatically turn the body camera on. That's going well. There's no problems with that at all. So the officers that are testing that, they've had no issues. There's a slight delay. I think it's around 5 seconds from the officers drawing the firearm to the body camera turning on. But that's not a problem because obviously there's a buffer of 30 seconds with the body camera anyway, so that
okay. Is
captured anyway.
Okay, good. Any questions that he wants to pursue about that? So much depends on budget, clearly, right? That's I think both the board and you yourself, Assistant Chief Dickinson, would really like to see this happen. It is a question of whether we can cost it out in a way that it makes it feasible.
It makes sense.
Yeah,
it absolutely makes sense. Yeah, and there is also some of the advances in technology now over the last few years. It would help officers as well. From our perspective, the products that Axon have on the market now is a force multiplier for us to do our jobs.
If there are no further questions about that, let's move to the next item on the agenda, which is Senate Bill 754 and the board's recommendations on its impact. In a way, Reese, because he has the best view of how legislative things are operating in Jefferson City, has sort of been our guide about the progress of this bill and has been following it quite closely. So I thought it'd be sensible to have Reese start and talk about where things are and what it seems to mean to you.
So, of course, just to, you know, for any context that may be missing, this was crime omnibus legislation that had a whole bunch of different changes to the criminal code, but the part that was relevant to us, of course, were the changes to civilian oversight entities, such as ourselves, and, you know, others that exist in the state, in St. Louis County and in city. But the language in that legislation was to limit our ability to, you know, operate as we do, trimming us down to the ability to perform investigations on appeals of four specific kinds of policy violations as opposed to the several dozen that, you know, we currently are able to do now, as well as limiting our ability to do some of these non-investigatory functions such as, you know, these public meetings, the policy reviews, and, you know, theoretically our audit power. And so that legislation, that language came from a representative out of St. Louis who had gotten that language from actually the St. Louis Police Union, and so they were endorsing of that language, and it made it into the crime omnibus. It was there last year, and that bill did pass. Of course, the governor vetoed that bill for an unrelated provision, and so it reappeared again this year in Senate Bill 754, and I went and testified, you know, during the House Judiciary Committee. And there was an attempt to put an amendment on the floor. It was not successful to try to carve Columbia out of this bill because at the point that the amendment was offered, if it had been accepted, as you may recall, the Senate adjourned early, so it would have gone to nowhere, so the bill wouldn't have passed, so the House refused to accept the amendment. So it passed as is, it was delivered to the governor, and I was at the bill signing. It was signed yesterday, so it will go into law on the 28th of August. And so where that leaves us is trying to figure out ways to have some function after August 28th, you know, pending, you know, city council approval on our proposals. And so that's kind of where we are. The bill passed, the governor signed it, and we've got until August 28th to figure it out.
And I guess what I would add perhaps to that is, in a real sense, we don't have until August 28th to figure it
that's
out.
That's right.
In a real sense, the city council has until August 28th
that's
to figure
this out.
That's
more accurate, yeah.
Since clearly we're going to have to be rewriting the sections of the city code in order to adjust to this bill. Even minimal adjustments to this bill will require a rewriting of city code, and if we really try to preserve some of the functions that we've had before, it'll take a pretty major overhaul. So there's a lot to think about there. Let's see if there are other members of the board who want to make comments on what they see happening here.
In my dream of dreams, we would actually just get the city to sue the state and go ahead and see if we can continue and see if it can be tested. But I don't actually know if that could happen.
As has been happening occasionally, it is one of those strong instances of state government telling local government that they can't do something that they have
absolutely
traditionally done.
And as well, I meant to mention this, on the floor during that amendment process, David Tyson Smith, our representative who helped found the board, got something that was as close as you can get to a commitment from someone on the floor to explore fixes to this bill in the next session, but that is going to be completely dependent on, you know, the attitudes of the speaker, if they, you know, even care to address this bill, if it makes it through committee, what the Senate does, and if our new governor, whoever he or she is, you know, will sign the bill. So there is some possibility that there will be a fix in 2025, but there's a lot of X variables on it. So
I have a feeling, since we have a larger number of members of the public here than usual, that a lot of people have been thinking about this. I'll give my sort of analogy for what's happened to us here. The Citizens Police Review Board, because we have a function of investigating, it's actually appeals rather than initial complaints, filed by citizens, clearly falls under the purview of this of 754. I mean, we're clearly affected by 754. And it puts any body that does that sort of work into a very tight box about what they're allowed to do. So, you know, inside that box, and I won't go into all the details necessarily here, but inside that box, we're able to do many of the functions that, some of the functions we've been doing. But those are all functions that you members of the public never see. They're the things that happen in closed session where we're reviewing confidential materials. So it will dramatically change our relationship to members of the public. Among the powers that we very explicitly lose are the ability to hold public sessions to get input, to make recommendations on policies or procedures or training. There's a lot that's lost that, in effect, when we're in this box, we can't do those things. And so the question that I think the city faces, is there a way to build a structure outside that box that allows the citizens of Columbia to have some input on those things that used to fall to the Citizens Police Review Board? Now, other people may come up with different analyses, but I think that's the general situation that we're in. I don't see how we can deny that the state law is focused on one of the functions that we definitely do. I certainly understand the impatience of people with doing that. with this bill doing that. But I think a lot of the outside-the-box things that the bill does were never contemplated by the bill's authors. No. I doubt that they sat there and said, you know, we ought to take away citizens' rights to express their views on policies and procedures and boards being able to make recommendations. I doubt that they made a conscious decision to do that. They were clearly trying to protect, from their point of view, the officers who, in a heated atmosphere, might, in a very public way, so to speak, be investigated and perhaps unfairly treated when a complaint is heard. So they were focused on this box, and I'm not sure they intended to do the damage that was outside that box, but I think it leaves the city in a position of figuring out how to address all those other functions. So we need to be thinking about that. Since there was no way I could sleep at some points, I went ahead and drafted up some motions, which I would be glad for us to consider unless somebody else has already come up with some motions that we might put on the floor about how we would like to make an initial address on this. And because I know I'll stumble when I try to, actually, let's see if we can get.
We can get some down there while you go that way.
Yeah, sure. Can I go that way? I actually don't know how many of these I managed to run off, Reese. So,
well, I'll make sure I get one.
There you go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Thank you. No, I didn't mail that out.
Now, I think, and again, I mean, I feel awkward in some ways. Another?
We've got it. I just didn't know if you guys had enough down there.
Did you make it?
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll be reading those, and they're not that long, so but I wanted, partly because it's awkward to be drafting something up. I should say about the way boards and commissions operate,
yeah.
We are obliged to do our business in public. And what that means is that we can't get together outside of the side of the public to discuss what we want to get done here. So you're about to see a discussion started by this, and people might very well say, no, don't do it that way. Do it this way, you know. So that's where we are in this process. In drafting it, I was merely trying to put something out there that we could serve as a beginning. So, unless people in the board see that it would not be a good idea, what I'm going to propose is we often do, we take things item by item, yeah. More or less. This is a short set of chained motions. So, the motion is that the Citizens Police Review Board. As city staff in consultation with one or more members of the CPRB to draft for the City Council's approval a plan for adapting to the provisions of Senate Bill 754, and then that the plan should include at least the following elements. So let's just take that one at a time. What we're doing here, if we want to endorse that part of the motion, is we're saying, City, you've got to solve, you know, this. We're going to have to hand this problem over to you, right? That we are unable to deal with the problem that we see, and so we're going to have to depend on the staff and the council to do it. But we want to have representation. We want to be represented there in what goes on. That seems uncontroversial, but anybody sees any problem with that, we'll pause at that point. Plan should include at least the following elements, and there are only two elements, so this won't take too long, I don't think. And I should say, I'll read this out and then explain it. Element one, a modification of the forms that citizens use to file complaints and appeals so that citizens can indicate by simply checking boxes whether the complaint involves any or all of the following: excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, use of offensive language. The reason for that is that Senate Bill 754 specifies that the only thing that citizen review boards can look at by way of complaints are things that fall into one of those categories. But those categories are very hard to define in some cases. I mean, what relation does it bear to policies and procedures?
And some of these were clearly meant to be umbrella terms, but they are actually specific policies that exist in the handbook. So abuse of authority does not count for a couple dozen different offenses. It counts for abuse of authority.
Yeah.
You know, and use of offensive language, for example, does not necessarily always fall under a discrimination complaint. You could have an act of discrimination that didn't involve a racial slur or, you know, any kind of slur, and it would not fall to us.
Would not fall to us. And so, and again, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but let's just think about it from the citizen's point of view for a while. If I file a complaint about my treatment by a police officer, and it goes to the police department for investigation, and they characterize what it is, and they don't feel it's a discourtesy, then I've lost my right to appeal. So what I'm hoping we can accomplish here is give the citizen complaining feels that what I experienced was excessive use of force, let them check that box, right? That leaves a possibility of appeal open to them. Now, internal affairs, when they investigate it, might say, no, I don't see an excessive use of force here. You know, they may take their investigation in a different direction, but the citizen has not lost a right to appeal when the citizen understood that it sure looked like use of force to me. And, you know, so that's what I'm trying to accomplish. Now, this may be more controversial, so I want to pause there and say, Are we comfortable with that? You can look online, by the way, and see what the forms presently used are like. In effect, it would be adding checkboxes to the complaint or the, and I'm welcome any comments. Technically, we're not taking comments from the
Chairman Hunt.
Yes.
I might actually be able to help you with this particular one. I don't believe, and I've taken some extensive look at the law, I don't believe that the board loses its right for jurisdictional review in the event that the police department, because it's an appeal, I think that the board still would have that opportunity. So I don't know that a checkbox is mandatory for someone to think that. It might help with the processing of the complaints and the ability to categorize them initially and make determinations as it goes down the road, but I don't believe that you're precluded from jurisdictional review. I know there's been some discussion about that previously, and as we've looked at it further, jurisdictional review will be something that this board could still retain.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of what that means as a practical matter. I'm the complaining citizen.
Of how it's categorized. So part of the jurisdictional review is, yes, did it fall into the proper category?
Yes.
To fall into the appeal process?
No, I hear that, but again, okay. I'm trying to think about this from the citizen's point of view going through the process. I file a complaint, and the department in its investigation doesn't put it in one of these two categories. I have the right to say, I think that the department miscategorized this and file an appeal. But that's asking a lot of the citizen.
Here's the only problem that I'm seeing with that is I have a feeling that citizens are going to look and say, well, I don't know if it falls under one of these categories, but I feel that something was done unjustly or wrong to me, and I want to be able to file a complaint. And I might not know what I'm complaining about, you know, exactly. But I don't want to limit them to just those four categories to turn it over to law enforcement.
Right.
I do want to limit it for us.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. And so I think at minimum we need to have a box that says other. But we have to give them the right, you know, and I'm sorry, I meant to include that. So let's make a modification right there.
And other.
Am I understanding correctly, Stephanie, what your main concern here is? That they shouldn't have to make that judgment in
right.
order to file.
If I want to file a complaint, I don't want to say, oh, I don't think it falls under any of these, so I can't file this complaint now because there's only these four.
Yeah.
So I want to give citizens that opportunity to, yeah. I don't know exactly what
maybe it's
law
like
has been broken or, you know, what has been done, but this is my complaint and I think we need more to it.
That's a very good idea. And might I, just so other is so generic, why don't we say other misconduct, right? So that they feel that there's some misconduct here, but they don't know how to characterize it.
This would be on the IT side, but maybe they could add a hyperlink to the policy manual.
It would be cool if they could do that. But I mean, my concrete experience, very much along the lines of what you're suggesting, Stephanie, is that when you read the citizen complaints, sometimes your head spins about how to characterize this complaint. I kind of like the idea of giving them some choices that they might, but preserving very much. I'm
that,
not sure
that
was
there's
any of
more
those.
Out there than just those
yeah.
four.
Yeah,
yeah,
and,
for sure.
And if we, any or all, people might very well say they check use of offensive language and other misconduct, right? In fact, that's not an unlikely result, I would think. Would that pass muster, you think, legally, if we were to do that?
I think so. And I think you could expand on it. I would say that what you're really talking about tonight is a motion to send a report to council requesting
Absolutely.
These things.
Right.
And so as long as you get your parameters, that language can be vetted.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Kind of along the same lines of including maybe additional categories or checkboxes that might be vetted through the process.
Absolutely. And I think that's very much the spirit here is we're just enlisting city staff and city council in the effort here and giving some hint of because we can't, you know, it's going to be a lot of needlework to get things down exactly right, clearly. But this is general direction. So are we happy with that first one? Is there anything? If we're happy with the first one, why don't we move on to the second one? If we're happy with the package, we can vote on the package. If we want to come back and revisit, we can do it.
I'm going to
Okay, so, and again, our joining sentence is, the plan should include at least the following elements, and the second element is a restoration of the ability of council-appointed citizens to do the duties listed in sections 2149, items 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the city code. If these duties now cannot be accomplished by the CPRB, the council may want to assign them to another body, either by reconfiguring an existing board or creating a new one. In effect, we're saying, if in this box we can't do things, can you find a board outside the box that is able to do these things? Can you create a board, if necessary, outside the box that can do these things? And there are, and we sort of begun our discussion of this, there are 1,000 variations on what that means. But I think we're asking them, you know, does that make sense to people? Again, since the things that you think about at 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't always think about clearly, so.
No, if someone else can do the policy reviews, if someone else can, you know, do the other parts of the oversight that, you know.
That would be good.
Or not even the oversight, but, you know, the public engagement part that is kind of necessary in order to make any kind of police policy recommendation.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be us.
It doesn't have to be us. And for those of you who are not, don't have the city code memorized, when we talk about items 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, in effect, items 1 is what we do. That is, we hear appeals from the chief's decision on complaints. Items 2, 3, and 3, 3, 4, 5, and 6, I can't quote them all, but those are very much those functions I was talking about before, to hold public input sessions, to make recommendations on policies and procedures, to audit complaints that were not appealed. In effect, all those things that you do to address, and this is the thing, that the way I see it most strongly, address not the question of whether a given officer has been guilty of misconduct. That's not what we're talking about now. The question we're asking about is the whole machine operating properly? You know, if we look at the system of policing, are we as citizens, are we as people of the board seeing a system that is functioning? Are we seeing a system that needs a change here or a change there? It's to preserve those functions that we would be doing this. And Nancy, you can see that last sentence is pertinent to our discussion. We don't know what the method is by which these other things could be picked up. And I think there's a long discussion to be had about that, probably involving city council. And
absolutely.
Others. Is anybody, any comments or questions about that second thing, the outside the box other entity?
I think these functions need to be preserved in some way for you to be able to say that there is civilian oversight. You know, if they don't exist in some way, then I don't know that you can realistically say that civilian oversight exists. So I'm in favor of.
I feel that way strongly too. And the other thing that I think we should perhaps make clear to the public that's present is that if the CPRB is reduced to only hearing appeals, you're just not going to see us. And we're going to become an essentially invisible body that meets in a closed room, and so that limits communication a great deal. Now it might be that when we meet, and we may be meeting only when there are appeals filed, there will be an opportunity for the public to say something. But if the public is making a recommendation on a policy change,
not actionable,
you're not talking to the right people. So. You know, I think it's very important that there be a venue that has some ability to actually make recommendations that hears the public input, and that's one of the things. Any other comments or observations? Are we comfortable voting on this?
Yes.
I mean, I know this is springing a lot fast, so I don't want to, but since August 28th, the bell rings, so to speak. If we move faster, we move better, I think. So.
Build the arguments and what our possibilities.
All right. Do we have a motion to pass or do we have a motion to pass these resolutions?
Does it need to be a roll call?
It needs to be a roll call, probably. I don't know. Let's do it as a roll call. It's a fairly major thing, and it cannot hurt to do a roll call, right?
It cannot hurt.
It cannot hurt, but we still have to have a motion, even if we're going to do a roll call.
A second.
Yep.
I'd second.
Okay, I think in a way Denise's comment we're going to take as a
first
is moving it, and Reese's as seconding it. Okay. I think that's what I heard.
All right, who was the motion?
Denise.
Okay. Let's do a roll call then.
Okay, I have to admit I don't have a roll call sheet.
Ah.
That might be a problem for me. I apologize.
That's all right.
That's what happens when you stand.
Let's just start with Stephanie. Say
I was
your name.
Say,
and
we
say
can
your
just
vote.
Say our name and okay. Yeah. Stephanie Coleman, aye.
Harry Castello, aye.
Denise Blazek, aye.
Stephanie Yoakum, aye.
Reese Ellis, aye.
Doug Hunt, aye.
Jamie Thornsberry, aye.
Thank you for accommodating that.
All right.
Motion passes.
Great. All right. Is there anything else we should be discussing under that item, that is Senate Bill 754 and the board's recommendations on its impact?
So what we've sent now, that'll go to the City Council for their next meeting, yes?
Yes, we need to put together a report to the City Council, because that's the way that boards and commissions communicate with the City Council. So it'll appear as a report on, won't be the next council meeting, because that agenda goes out tomorrow. It won't be prepared in time for that, but it will be the first meeting August 1st.
Okay. So just for my mind, because I unfortunately do not follow the legislative calendar in the City Council as well as I should, what, say there was action, what would be the soonest if everything just moved, you know, it was a high priority, number one priority? Because I know it needs to be first read and second read and so on. And
sure. Well, I will tell you that we won't set on this particular bill and do nothing. Even with this report going to the City Council, my office will be working on it, and we'll be coming up with some recommendations on how to amend the bill. The real question is whether or not the council will want to wait or just go ahead and try to enact some of those. So hopefully we'll be engaged in some conversations as we go forward. But it's good to hear your thoughts tonight. It's great to get the report on as soon as we can get it moving forward, and we're going to start working. So the council process is that when an ordinance comes forward, it has to appear on a council agenda for introduction and first reading at one meeting, and then there's 2 weeks later it's up for a vote. So the earliest I think we could get something on for introduction and first reading would be that second meeting in August, with a vote the first meeting in September.
Just clarify one thing again for the sake of members of the public. Meanwhile, we are still in the business of hearing appeals of the police, of citizens' appeals if they don't agree with the chief's decision on a complaint. So we're not closed down in that respect. If the City Council is unable to move before August 28th, that function will still be running. We've got to get the other functions up and running as our real goal. So,
right. So, Chairman, if I might, when I'm speaking about those moving forward, that would be the core amendments that need to happen for this particular bill to be integrated. It would not cover kind of the second part of that, which
okay.
is subpart two, the restoration, what that looks like. There are a lot of different routes that the restoration of those powers can take. As I think you mentioned, the bill itself, this board currently only hears appeals. The bill itself gives you the power to hear the original complaint. So there may be some ways that we can modify that language. That's a bit more complicated and complex. So what we want to make sure we do is we'll make sure that we get something back to ensure that the city code is compliant, but at the same time kind of keeping in that that forward-facing window, that there may be some opportunities to tweak the other language to ensure, as it relates to the initial complaint, that some of those functions and oversight functions still exist. But that language, like I said, is a little bit more complex.
Right. So, yes, I see very much your point. Even after August 28th, even to be able to do our present function is going to require some. So to be able to work inside that box, there's going to have to be some changes in the way the language works. And that much can be accomplished, perhaps, in a fairly expeditious way.
Correct. Right. It's that larger piece that's going to take some additional time. And how that, what that language looks like as it relates to the original complaints on these categories of items may still give you some functions related to those as far as an initial complaint goes as well, without taking on full investigatory authority and maybe just keeping the review authority.
So basically, we have guaranteed one more meeting and then kind of the unknown after that?
You may continue to meet. Absolutely can continue to meet. Right now, the city code requires you to meet monthly. I guess what I would ask this body is that as you're moving toward the implementation of this, and you are, your audits and other review functions have scaled back, do you want to change your meeting schedule to be quarterly? I believe that you should still be meeting on a regular basis, and there's value to that.
There may be value to that, but I must say, what the heck we would be doing in a meeting gets to be a little bit complicated.
Yeah. I think new members in particular need to be trained. They need to understand the workings of the board. They really need to understand there's some educational components to police operations that really this board can't do its functions if you don't understand police operations. That doesn't mean that you're providing evaluation, insight, or recommendations, but you certainly need to understand it. And I think the educational components that come out of the police department are critical to that.
Yeah.
And understanding and knowing what the policies are critical to that in order to be able to perform the oversight function.
Yeah, so, that makes some sense. And it would certainly make more sense on a quarterly schedule than a monthly. So
if that's something, I mean, that's something we would have to change as well, because right now your ordinance does require you to meet monthly.
Maybe that'll be on the agenda for next month.
Right. That might be a good idea.
So it's a big question mark. We're still at it. We don't know.
Any other things about the Senate bill, which is certainly the heaviest lift on the agenda, I think. But if we're comfortable, we'll move on. Productive outreach efforts, any reports people want to make on that? Summer, you know, might not have much to report there. Audits of 2023 complaints, and it's a status update. In a way, we've begun our round of reviews for 2023 audits after being delayed a little bit because we had some appeals come in, and I know that at least a small group that was looking at one section that I was with will have some recommendations, and I suspect that the other groups will as well. So in all likelihood, we'll have about that we share that one. So we'll have about seven, because we overlapped, remember?
That's right.
On one. So I think we're going to have about seven that we'll do. And I think, although we'll see how the closed session go, I think what we'll likely be doing is try to take about nine more for next time. So at least have a respectable number of audits done, even if we get shut down at the next meeting. If people are feeling we need to be either less ambitious or more ambitious than that, I'd certainly be welcome to open any suggestion. I think that's where we are. And thinking about the public watching, one of the things that has most impressed me about this board and impressed me once again when I talked to a couple of board members about some of the audits we were doing is how seriously the audit business is taking. If you do it well, in a case of any complexity, hours go into really trying to figure out what happened and what process was followed, and the board has been putting in those hours. And that's another reason I would hate to see the audit function lost, because so much is learned in the process of doing the audits. But at any rate, we will have, I hope, if my count is right, we'll have at least 16 of the cases audited from 2023 before we hit the August 28th deadline. So. New ideas for next work session. Interesting item.
Yeah, that is an interesting item to be on there.
I don't think we can.
Yeah, that's an idea of itself. Yeah, I didn't know that we were.
Is that even going to be allowed?
Kind of a, yeah.
If it's going to be allowed at this point, it has to be accomplished before August 28th. And I'm not sure that it would be useful to have such a work session. If there were, the only matter that would be likely sensible to discuss is the very matter we were discussing today, to get public input on that matter. The thing that I think is a little bit complicated about that is it's a moving ball, so to speak. That is, we're in the process of trying to figure out how to draft changes and things like that, and it would be very hard to give a clear picture of what's going on. I mean, I'd be open to the idea if people think it would be really useful to do a work session on that. I'd be open to the idea. I'm not pushing it, though, because I think it would be a little complicated to not hearing that. The item under new business I have nothing to say about, and because I don't know anything about it. The 2024 annual NACOL conference coming up October 13th through 17th in Tucson.
It is October 13th through 17th in Tucson.
Last year we had two members go.
The conference in Chicago, but yep. I don't know that we'd be able to.
Be able to go.
Oh, that's a very good question.
I don't know that we'd be able to be a, yeah.
Maybe we put that on next month.
I will tell you, I believe you can go.
Yeah.
So. I think training is not a prohibited activity. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, again, you have to be well trained in order to do your job well.
Yeah.
And so to the extent that training is required, I believe that you can go and participate. There is budget. This actually comes in the next budget year because it's in October instead of September this year. I don't know if normally they appear in.
They had two go.
Last year it was in November, so that's all I could. Speak
was it
to
so? On. It was yeah. in this. It was in.
It
this,
was in this. Yeah.
This budget year. Okay, yeah. So we'll be in a new budget year by that point in time, and. There'll be budgeted funds ready to go. So if we have an indication of who might want to attend, we can start preparing some paperwork for that in order to get the approvals in place. It's always good to know sooner rather than later.
Sure. As anybody anticipate, as I've mentioned about last year's conference, there are things that actually tie me to Columbia, and I can't get away for that long. But others might be quite interested if we can arrange it. There you go. Denise.
The early bird registration saves $100. It's $580 a member if we register you before August 2nd. After August 2nd, it's $680, so it's $100.
And I'm seeing nods, I think, from Denise and Stephanie both. Am I hearing that right? Stephanie, did I see you expressing an interest?
I'm like, which Stephanie? I am potentially interested, and I understand I do not have seniority, so if someone else is interested, that's fine.
Last year was if everybody wanted to go, everybody could have went.
Yes.
Oh.
So. Yeah. Oh. I think it's more a question of who can go than anything else.
That's right. The council's been very generous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd have to check with my significant
other. I would like to, but with my schedule, I don't know if I can take all that time off. Working on it.
Tired.
So working on it.
Can I ask this? Is if anybody does want to go, you can email me, Nancy.Thompson@como.gov.
Preferably before August.
Second.
Yes, before, yeah, as soon as you know, obviously we can register afterwards, but if you are positive that you are, your calendar allows you to go and you want to go and we can get you registered early, let us know. If you find out later that you want to go, we'll find a way.
And I will say it was a pretty valuable conference going there. I met some board members from Nashville who pretty well prepared me for what would happen here because they gave a presentation about state legislatures usurping local authority on civilian over. So, you know, that was kind of prescient. So it was worthwhile for that alone to, you know, kind of have an idea of what might happen. And they're pretty interesting sessions, and you get to meet a lot of people doing different things across America who have very different models and who have very different experiences working in civilian oversight. So if you can go, I recommend it.
All right. I this is only tangentially related, but I don't know about others on the board, but I received a cryptic email from NACOL about needing to re-up my membership for $0 and 0 cents. And that made so little sense to me that I assumed, in fact, we were re-upped anyhow. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I sent it to the NACOL membership has been renewed.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. All right. Items for next month's agenda. I know that the Senate bill will be obviously on there.
Surely.
Other things that people can foresee that we know we need to be
more on the audience.
Future meeting discussion on if we should still be meeting every month or not.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so in a way it's related, meeting schedule.
What'd you say, Stephanie?
I said just more on the audits. I mean, we'll be going,
yep,
doing the basic update.
Update on the audits. And it's possible that, I don't know if it's possible, Assistant Chief Rich, whether there's a chance that we'll get an update on where we are. Paul, do you think there'll be any chance for an update on where we are on the budgeting for getting the update on the equipment? Yeah, we'll just see where we are. So it might or might not be there. Okay.
Would I be able to get some time at that meeting to present ICAT?
Sure, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely do that.
What's the beginning of the meeting, if possible, so we can get the presenter?
Good. Gotcha. All right. All right. Staff Human Rights Commission, any news?
Summer is a busy time for the Human Rights Commission. We have a lot of tabling events, and our last one will be in September at the Pride Fest. We like talking to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
Pretty typical.
And anybody do ride-alongs or other trainings? Yes.
I did. I actually went on my ride-along, and I would like to discuss what I experienced.
Okay, great.
Okay. As a new member of the Police Review Board by way of the Human Rights Commission, I am invited to a police ride-along to observe a few hours of what a typical shift might look like for a Columbia police officer. I waited a few weeks to write this report, which I am confident will both help and hinder my narrative. Due to the passage of time, my initial words were less measured. On the evening of Saturday, June 1st, I rode along with a Columbia police officer from about 8 p.m. till about 12:30 a.m. During this time, we responded to a handful of calls, and the officer happily answered any questions I had. But of important note, around 10:20 p.m. on Saturday night, I was informed that a report had come through of a minor child who had attempted suicide per the child's friend calling in from out of state. This minor had attempted to end their life by both consuming pills and harming themselves with sharp objects. So the caller's concern was well-placed, not unfounded, and clearly indicates an immediate or emergency situation. Instead of responding to this call, this officer actually had a choice to choose, and instead, we spent the next hour being the fifth or sixth vehicle on a different scene looking for bullet casings, in which there were no immediate victims, weapons had been discharged, and my driving officer did not appear to be the primary responding officer. It may have just appeared to be more fun to look for bullet casings in the ground than to go respond to a mental health call. We actually did not respond to this suicide call until after 11:30 p.m. And my time and the officer's time during this time appeared to be entirely at their discretion. Therefore, this minor child went over an hour in their basement in a medically vulnerable position, unnecessarily suffering, as a result of what appears to be a flawed ticketing response system. I understand that a four-hour shift is only a small snapshot of total operations. However, only a week before this ride-along, Columbia lost a female veteran to suicide after several unsuccessful attempts to call police officers from concerned friends. And then the very next day after my experience, KOMU airs a special highlighting a lack of a clear policy for mental health crisis intervention. So I'm considering this simply relaying my experience. It appears that the way we triage emergency response calls does not appear to like accurately or adequately reflect the needs of the population. And I would question if those triage priorities are in line with best serving the public.
Any other training ride-along positive connections?
I have not. I've been planning to schedule some, but haven't had that chance yet, so I will be scheduling soon.
I think we are now ready for general comments by the public, members, and staff. Now, I know the theoretical drill hill, but there's this little instrument in front of me. Have you ever used this?
I've got it. I've got it over here.
You got it all.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Oh, yeah, you've got
it
going.
I've got it ready, yeah. Okay. I've been trained once, so bear with us.
Okay, so we're opening for general comments from the public members and staff. Individual members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board. Representative of groups will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. And we'll begin with the public, then we'll move to members and staff. So are there members of the public who would like to make comments?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm speaking on behalf of the Columbia Police Officers Association.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to stay more than three, however. Okay. Thank you all for your time. A couple of points related to, I'd like to make some comments about the passage of the recent Senate bill that you all have been discussing. First, let me just, by way of background, the Columbia Police Officers Association has always supported the idea of fair, unbiased, and neutral review of complaints, and we publicly endorsed the creation of a civilian review board back in 2008 when that was being discussed. And we'll say, however, that the consensus at that time in 2008 really melded around what is the mission of the board. And so that committee that explored that on behalf of the city explored a myriad of options and models, many of whom you've mentioned tonight, but there's even more out there. And the consensus of that committee, and I think the unanimous support by all of the stakeholders that were consulted at that time, melded around the idea of an appeals board to hear appeals of complaints. And so I hear you say that you're afraid that the passage of the new state law may impair your ability to do the things that you have been doing of late. And I guess say that's accurate in my estimation. But more importantly, I would encourage you to embrace that and really return to your actual mission, which is included in ordinance, and it's remained consistent in large part back since 2009. And I'll just read it for you. The purpose of this article is to provide an external and independent process for review of actual or perceived misconduct by police officers, thereby increasing the police department's accountability to the community and community trust in the police department. And so around that mission, CPUA still supports. And what I'm hearing you say is that you're, at least some of you might be considering defying state law and trying to work around the law instead of embracing what the law limits you to, which I believe is completely 100% allows you to fully carry out the mission, your mission that's included in ordinance. And we are We have been concerned really for years and not so much now. And I just say it's been a pleasure watching all of you on this board. Very reasonable, intelligent, well-intended folks who seem truly committed to pursuing improved policing outcomes for those in Columbia. I will say that there have been concerns with past members of the board who were heavily influenced by what I'll describe as radical, agenda-driven activists, and some have even infiltrated City Hall at times. I will just say that, please, instead of spending your time trying to skirt the law, focus on your mission. Provide an opportunity for independent review of citizens' complaints, and thereby increase the police department's accountability to the community and community trust in the police department. Do what you were originally intended to do, and really just accept the fact that the state law now prohibits you from doing these things that I would say are outside of your mission, such as auditing or general oversight. And we look forward to continuing to work with you, and we still, CPUA still supports the idea of a true, fair, unbiased, and neutral review, because frankly, they're really not afraid of you seeing what they do day in and day out. And that fact has really been realized if you look at how many actual complaints you all have received appeals on for the last 15 years. The data suggests that there really isn't this dearth of misconduct and this just large amount of dissatisfied citizens. You can look at your own data. Anyway, thank you. We look forward to working with you and, of course, city staff and council on implementing this new law. Thank you.
Thank you
all. Thank you. Any other comments from members of the public?
Of course I'm going to talk. Chris Jones, Second Ward. I am asking for 5 minutes on behalf of Hold Como Accountable. I would first like to start off by saying what Don Weaver just said. Most of it's not true. You guys are well aware of the review that you guys are going on right now. You're well aware of how many complaints CPD has received. You're also probably well aware of how many times that IA has swept stuff underneath the rug, how many times that people's times to appeal the decision ran out, how many people did not have XYZ. Now, having said that, I'm sure that you guys know that you have a very important role in town. You are the last refuge for people who have been wronged by a very powerful group in town. They have their own lawyer. You just heard him speak. He's going to gaslight you. You know that good and well. I mean, he's paid very well to gaslight you. Now, we all know that our police department has done a lot of wrong. And I want to mention one little thing. I recently found out, just very recently, that last year, under the previous police chief's administration, previous police chief is in the room right now, by the way, that a member of the command staff's family member did something highly immoral and illegal. And citizen filed, said, hey, this happens. They went to IA. Guess what happened? That family member's name was stricken from all reports. Now, are you guys okay with that? Are you okay with Paul Dickinson's department sweeping it under the rug? Are you okay with the police administration sweeping it underneath the rug just because of a command staff's family member was involved? I'm not. Jeff, I hope you weren't either. Oh, Jeff left. Apparently he didn't want to hear the public comment. Now, you are the only refuge that somebody like that has. So now, when that happens again, if IA's already done that, do you really trust IA to come to you and say, hey, our command staff did something wrong, as I don't. Nothing was done. And here's the thing. This is not the first time this has happened. I know of a previous police chief who did the same thing. All right, I have brought that up before. The person that that Don was talking about, by the way, was December Harmon. She's the member of the Radical Left, and I was more than happy to help her. Now, as part for what Stephanie Yoakum did talk about just a few minutes ago, I am making, Paul, I am making a formal request to start an investigation on this very issue. Please take note that this is my very, very public demand for IA to look into what happened. I had also brought up the incident with the suicide to city council, and I hope that everybody is very ashamed of what happened. You had a member of CPRB that very much said what happened. I know that you don't trust me, but you better trust her. Now, as a reminder, going back to what Don said, your job is not to increase trust in CPD. Your job is to make for sure that our community has a voice. They are not overrun. Their voice is not lost. Unfortunately, our state legislature has tried to annihilate the voices of our community. I implore you to not let that happen as much as possible, to take back as much voice as you have, and to demand that city council file a lawsuit, and to also, and in the meantime, to a lawsuit against the state to take back your rights, to take back our rights, the citizens' right, and to also rewrite the ordinances and codes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public?
Renee Carter on behalf of Race Matters Friends. And so a couple of introductory things is I had sent you some information addressing the other event that she was talking about. I sent some information, I believe, on how they should be addressing mental health calls and how the policy needs to be changed for welfare checks. I wasn't speaking on this tonight, but I did want to remind you that I sent that. Also, I do want to remind everyone that, you know, SB 754, I do think it is purposeful. I don't think it's necessarily aimed toward protecting police, but I do think it's aimed toward limiting the power of people in order to allow some people to do whatever they want and target other people. With SB 26, police power was limited in their abilities to do their job, and so it's this balancing act of they don't want us as citizens to be able to utilize police, but when they need them and the way that they need them, that's how they're making these bills. And that's what I'm seeing from all of the things that I read. Another thing is on your, and you can answer this later, but whenever you're deciding how to categorize a complaint, do you have a rubric that you use? And possibly that might be helpful. And maybe when you went to the conference, you could talk to people about designing a rubric that if the person making the complaint hasn't categorized it, perhaps you would be able to better. Not that I'm an expert on categorizing complaints, but I would think a rubric would be very helpful. So I'm here tonight because I had sent you information about the policy on vehicle pursuits, and I continue to see vehicle pursuits in the newspaper that I feel like, from my standpoint, don't fall under how they've said that they have done their policy. And I looked over the policy, and it doesn't satisfy me. And at least that the training and how pursuits are implemented don't. And so I know that, I've received some pushback on people who think vehicle pursuits, that for any case you should chase people down and catch them right away. But according to the report, I'm going to read a little section out for you. Vehicle pursuits, a guide for law enforcement executives on managing the associated risk. And this was completed by the Community-Oriented Policing Services, COPS, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Police Executive Research Forum, which is PERF. And I've spoken a number of times about the policies and the procedures that they ask people to follow because they've done a lot of research, and it's not just one organization. It's even international. And so they've studied this. And so I'll read as much time as I have left because I want people to understand that even though our police department says they're following this, I don't believe they are if we looked at how they're doing it and this policy and training and oversight by the department themselves needs to change. So here they're saying in their summary, police vehicle pursuits present physical, emotional, and economic risk to the officer, bystander, any passengers, and the fleeing suspect. Given these risks, law enforcement agencies need a resource that identifies solutions for managing high-risk vehicular pursuits. In 2020, Congress passed the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration in partnership with police jurisdictions to conduct a study that would lead to the development of accurate reporting and analysis of crashes that involve vehicle pursuits. And so I've run out of time, but if you will look at the guide I sent, it really has a lot of very good information about when and where and how. And there should be very few vehicle pursuits unless it is entirely a matter of imminent danger to the public.
Thank you.
Other comments from members of the public?
Hi, Mary Denson, resident and voter in Boone County. I don't have a lot to say, but I am deeply disappointed in the continued erosion of transparent democratic processes here in Columbia, Missouri, and the thwarting of positive, accountable relationship building between citizens, government officials, and law enforcement. And the more eyes, the better, I say. I have a Quaker background, and so that's what I believe. And secrecy is where injustice and corruption flourish. And so anywhere you look and see secrecy or the potential for that secrecy, I implore you to press deeper. And I'm sure, and I've witnessed some of you truly do that. So this is not an indictment, but a plea to continue. And democracy dies slowly, not quickly, and it is incremental, and it's a bunch of little cuts. And so I beg you to please keep fighting. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments by members of the public?
Unfortunately, my representative is Luke DeMeyer, which just found out that's Senate Bill 754, and he sponsored that, which sucks. I definitely wanted to publicly say that I disapprove of that bill, and I wish that I would have known more about it, and that kind of brought something up on the agenda. There was a brief mention of productive outreach efforts, and I was wondering, is that something that this board or that the city is responsible for? Because I even looked up this meeting yesterday and I couldn't find it on the city website, and I don't know, maybe I just missed it as well. So, but it's not easy, I guess, is So I don't know exactly how your guys's governing is going to change, especially like it sounds like a lot's going to change. But if nothing else, outreach is still really important. And if that's the only thing you can do, that's better than nothing. My other question is, Columbia Police Department has body cameras, which is a good thing. Who reviews the footage? Where is it stored? That's not this council, right? That's you guys don't. You review the footage if somebody comes. Cool. This is like my first time, so thank you for a little guidance. And then my other question was, any kind of a breakdown, like for the outreach kind of, any kind of a breakdown of the ticketing system / triage process? I didn't actually understand what it's called, but how it influences mental health was something you were talking about, Steph. But I'm sure that that affects other stuff. I've like seen like deer in the road and stuff, and I know that's small, but that's something I've like called in and like somebody said something would happen and nothing happened. So it's small stuff, but it would be good to know what that process is. So maybe that's like the first outreach that we could do around like how police respond to stuff, especially as well the like influences that have been had, like the language that was taken for the bill from the St. Louis Police Union. Like that, I've learned more about that through multiple podcasts and even like education around how those bills like travel through police unions and the budgeting around that, and even focusing on like the locality of Columbia. All of that is really fascinating and would definitely help make this more public, because this is a big deal and I really appreciate everybody being here. So great job, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public? All right. Members?
Got a comment. I wish Mr. Weaver had not left, because I would have liked to have said that, I totally categorically reject the premise of his comments. I'm not going to engage in personalities with, members of the public. However, I think that that is not a good faith reading of the law. I think that he is aware of that. I've enjoyed a good working relationship with the officers who help out on this board. This is nothing about them. But, I can't accept that as a good faith argument that, you support the purpose of this board, and then, you to make the implication that we're trying to flout state law is very offensive to me, extremely offensive. And, I don't think it was appropriate for him to say that, especially, that's all I'll say about that.
Yes. In continuing Reese's comment, I would say that audits, general oversight, and policy suggestions are all a part of a robust review process.
Yes, the only other thing that I would say about that is they are all part of our duties as assigned by the City Council at this point. Now, that's in the process of reshuffling, but
subject to change.
Yeah.
But if you want to read section 2149, those are certainly within our duties because they are listed. So, yeah.
Any other comments by members of the?
I just want to thank all of you for coming out and asking questions. I mean, trust me, I understand getting in front of a microphone is nerve-wracking. It's not something that I even enjoy doing, and I'm a teacher and I'm up all the time doing it, but different audiences, So I appreciate that you guys came out. Thank you.
Of the board, members of staff, any staff member comments?
Nope. Let's see.
Well, since we do have some work to do, I would entertain a motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law, sections 610.21, paren 14, and 590.502, RISMO. The board will meet in conference room 2A for a closed session.
I'd make a motion to go into closed session.
I will second. Coleman.
All right.
Where was our second from? I'm sorry.
Coleman, Stephanie.
Okay, second.
And I believe that's right. I believe you're correct about that. I think we've always had a roll call vote on going into closed session.
You need a roll call vote, so if you don't mind indicating, I'd appreciate it.
Stephanie Coleman, aye.
Harry Castillo, aye.
Denise Blazek, aye.
Stephanie Yoakum, aye.
Reese Ellis, aye.
Doug Hunt, aye.
Jamie Thornsberry, aye.
Thank you so much.
Good eye, Jamie. Over and over again.